This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Are a people who are in the greatest of need of understanding the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find around us so many problems that are these toxic problems that are hurting this ummah, that are destroying this community, that are tearing the community apart. Whether these problems are the problems of backbiting, people who are churning against each other, slandering each other, whether it is the problems of people spreading false rumors about each other to the point that they will even spread false rumors about the scholars and their honor, or they will spread false rumors about the mosques and the schools and the places that are dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or people who are spreading rumors and slanders against each other, or people who are harming each other and cheating each other in business, or people who are spreading lies about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and about Islam. All of these defects that we have in our community, all of these defects that are harming our community and tearing ourselves apart without any help, even from our enemies. Rather, we ourselves are the ones tearing ourselves apart. Where did these defects come from? How do these defects come and emanate from? They come from the realization that the person has forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only have they forgotten Allah azza wa jal, but they've forgotten the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the moment you forget the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the moment that you stop fearing Allah and revering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you understand the greatness of Allah, you revere Him and you fear Him. And the moment you stop understanding the greatness of Allah is the moment that you stop fearing Him and you stop revering Him. And this is why the scholars say, Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says, كُلَّمَا اسْتَدْتُ عِلْمًا بِاللَّهِ اسْتَدْتُ خَوْفًا بِاللَّهِ. He said, whenever you increase in your knowledge of Allah, then you will also increase in your fear and in your reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكُلَّمَا قَلَّ الْعِلْمِ قَلَّ الْخَوْفِ. And he said, and every time your knowledge decreases or your knowledge becomes deficient, then indeed your fear of Allah as well decreases and also becomes deficient. And this is the reality in this dunya, that no one will enter into Jannah, no one will enter into paradise, except that they are fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. No one enters into paradise except that they feared Allah in this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَأْمُونَ. He said that those who are fearful of the punishment of their Lord, indeed the punishment of their Lord is that which they are not safe. So those who feel in this dunya that they are not safe from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the ones who are saved from the punishment of Allah in the next world. And those who feel secure in this world, immune in this world from the punishment of Allah, they are the ones who will be exposed to the punishment of Allah in the next world. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his face would begin to whiten out of his fear of Allah the moment he would see the winds start to blow or the skies begin to change, because of his fear of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite his connection to Allah, despite the revelation coming down to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Simply seeing the skies change or the winds increase would make him sallallahu alaihi wasallam increase in his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fearing that punishment was going to come down and punish him. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the Quran constantly pushes us to recognize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to recognize the greatness of Allah azza wa jal. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us a verse in the Quran that is better than all of the verses in the Quran, a verse that was given greatness over all the other verses in the Quran, the verse that Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said, ما من السماء ولا الأرض ولا سهل ولا جبل أعظم من آية الكرسي. He said that there is nothing that Allah has created, no sky nor earth, there is no valley nor mountain that Allah has created that is greater than آية الكرسي, greater than this verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to us. And at the end of the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends it by telling us and describing Himself and saying, وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ, that indeed He is Al-Ali, the Most High, high, Al-Azim, the one who is the most great, the one who is full of greatness. And the scholars, they spoke about this, that Allah Azza wa Jal calls Himself Al-Azim, calls Himself the greatest. And they mention, أَنَّ الْإِيمَانُ هُوَ إِسْتِشْعَارُ عَظِيمَةِ الْخَالِقِ. They said, all of your faith is your ability to feel and to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being Al-Azim. That all of faith is feeling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, emotionally connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spiritually connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being Al-Azim. وَلِذَلِكَ أَمَرُنَا Allah بِتَرَدُّدْ إِسْمُهُ الْعَظِيمُ فِي الرُّكُوعِ. And they said, because of this, Allah ordered us to constantly repeat His name Al-Azim while we are performing our ruku' in our prayer. فَسَبِّحْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَظِيمُ. So glorify the name of your Lord Al-Azim. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, when He described the person who is full of arrogance, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throws him into the hellfire, He says about him that his first blame and his first fault, إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. That indeed this was a man who did not believe in Allah being Al-Azim. As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us, that the moment you stop recognizing that Allah is Al-Azim, is the moment that you fall into arrogance, and you fall into sins, and you fall into the hellfire. إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. He was someone who did not believe that Allah was Al-Azim. And who is it? And what does it mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Azim? Al-Azim is the one who has gathered all of the great and the noble attributes all together. He is the one who has gathered together the greatest attributes of honor, and the greatest attributes of power, and the greatest attributes of grandeur. That He gathered together the attributes of glory and beauty and generosity. That He is the one who has gathered all of the attributes that the hearts love and that the hearts are content with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gathered all of these attributes together, and this is why He is Al-Azim. And Al-Isfahani, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he said, Al-Azimah, that this attribute of greatness, the attribute of being azim, is something that is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes gives some of the people a minor form of azima. Azima duna azima. He gives them a minor form of greatness in this world. So some people in this dunya, when we see them, we attribute to them a minor form of greatness. A greatness because of their wealth, or a greatness because of their knowledge, or a greatness because of their fame, or because of their status, or because of their beauty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He says, and He continues, and He says, that no one can be considered azim, because none of these people have actually reached true perfection in those attributes. Even if we consider someone to be great in this world in terms of his wealth is still defective. Even if we consider someone to be great in terms of their beauty is still defective. No matter how much fame a person has, there's always going to be someone who never heard of them. There's always going to be someone who doesn't care for them. Even when that person dies, in a couple of years, there are people who are born who don't know about them and don't care about them. So no matter the fame that that person has, that fame is defective. No matter how much knowledge a person has, they will never have perfect knowledge. Their knowledge will eventually become outdated. No matter how much we speak about the greatness of the scholars of the past, the scholars of history or science or math, their knowledge has probably already become outdated. No matter how beautiful a person is, there's always someone in some society, in some community, who doesn't consider their attributes to really be beautiful. And you have to understand this, because this is that we understand that the great attributes only belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Allah is Al-Azim because He is the only one who has reached perfection in all of His attributes. And that He is the one who is Ar-Rahim and Ar-Rahman, the one who is the most merciful to the point of perfection. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Kareem, the most generous to the point of perfection. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Aziz to the point of perfection. He is the most honorable, the Almighty, to the point of perfection. And this is what makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Al-Azim. That He is the only one that reaches the absolute point of perfection in all of His attributes. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing similar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is al-azim in His hearing. He is al-azim in His seeing. He is al-azim in His knowledge. His knowledge is the greatest, and His power is the greatest, and His wisdom is the greatest, and His strength is the greatest, and His kingdom is the greatest, and His authority is the greatest, and His beauty is the greatest, and His mercy is the greatest, and His kindness is the greatest. Every attribute that belongs to Allah is azim, is the greatest and the perfect. And this is why this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a name that guides you to every single one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you recognize that Allah is al-azim, you're also recognizing that His mercy is the best. When you recognize that Allah is al-azim, you're also recognizing that His power is the best and the most perfect. When you recognize that Allah is al-azim, you are recognizing and affirming the perfection of every other one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of His attributes. And this is the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the greatness of Allah, just to think about it and to increase this greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِي مَا السَّمَاءُ السَّابِعُ وَالْأَرْضَيْنَ السَّبْعُ عِنْدَ الْكُرْسِي إِلَّا كَحَلْقَةٍ فِي مُلْقَاةٍ فِي السَّحَرَاءِ. He said that the entire seven heavens and the seven skies, all compared to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is simply like a ring that is thrown into a desert. Imagine a ring that is thrown into the desert. Its insignificance compared to the throne of Allah, and not even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is all of the seven heavens, and we simply live within one of the seven heavens, the first of which, imagine how small we are, and how insignificant we are, and how insignificant we are compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is al-azim. And Allah, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in a hadith Qudsi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-kibriya'u rida'i wal-azamatu izari. He said that pridefulness is my robe. Wal-azamatu izari. And that al-azima, greatness, is my clothing. فَمَنْ نَازَعَنِي بِوَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْهُمَا قَذَفْتَهُ فِي النَّارِ. He said, whoever competes with me in either of them, then I will throw them into the hellfire. When you truly understand that Allah is al-azim, that no one has true greatness or excellence or perfection other than Allah, you recognize that there is no one who can compete with Allah in any of these categories. And when you recognize this, then you recognize that there is no azim other than Allah. And when you recognize that there is no azim other than Allah, there is no greatness attributed to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it becomes impossible for you to fear anyone other than Allah. Because you know His greatness and you know His power, and that His greatness and His power and the perfection of His greatness and His power is the only one that is worthy of fear. And you will not trust other than Allah. And you will not place your hope in anything other than Allah. And you will begin venerating Allah and recognizing the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every situation. And this is why some of the Salaf used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they used to say, Allahumma fa'in azabtani fama ziltu arjuk wa'in harramtani fama ziltu ad'uk. You would say, oh Allah, if you punish me, I will remain hopeful in you. And if you withhold from me, then I will remain praying to you. Why does he do this? Because he understands the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who else is worthy of our hope other than Allah azza wa jal? Who else is worthy of your dua other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And you can only say this and recognize this when you recognize and you venerate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and realize that He is al-azim. And when you do this, then the veneration of everything other than Allah is taken away from your heart. Look at one of the greatest scholars in the history of Islam, Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam, one of the great scholars of Egypt. One day, he confronted the ruler of his time in a public parade in front of all of the people. He stood up in front of him and he said to him, قَالَ يَا أَيُّوبُ. He said, oh Ayyub, speaking to him like he is a common man, without referring to him with any title. He said to him, oh Ayyub, he said, are you the one who is ruling Egypt? And you have allowed the sale of alcohol and all types of haram inside this country. And he stood in front of him and he spoke like this in front of all of the people. And the man said to him, قَالَ يَا سِيدِي أَنَا مَا فَعَلْتُ ذَلِكَ إِنَّمَا هُوَ مِنْ عَهْدُ أَبِي. He said, I didn't do any of this. Rather, this was in the time of my father. My father allowed these things. I didn't allow them. And so Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam continued to speak to him harshly in front of all of the people. And he said to him, أَأَنْتَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ قَالَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ فِي الْقُرْآنِ إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا عَلَى أُمَّةٍ وَإِنَّا عَلَى آثَارِهِمْ مُقْتَدُونَ. He said, are you amongst those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to in the Qur'an, that when they are told to do good, they say, we found our forefathers on a path, and we are on the path of our forefathers, and we are holding on to their path. And so the ruler didn't know what to say. And he agreed in that moment to shut down those places of haram in his country. And a man, a student, came up to Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam. He said, how did you find it in your heart to stand up in front of this ruler, in front of all the people, and to speak to him so harshly, in front of all the people, when you know that he could easily imprison you, and you know that he can easily harm you and torture you? And he said to him, قَالَ اسْتَحْضَرْتُ عَظَمَةِ اللَّهِ فِي قَلْبِي. He said, I felt the greatness of Allah in my heart. And so when I looked upon the man, فَرَأَيْتَهُ كَالْقِطْ. He said, I saw him like a small kitten. I recognized the greatness of this ruler, and all of his power was as weak and as feeble as a small kitten. Why? اسْتَحْضَرْتُ عَظَمَةِ اللَّهِ فِي قَلْبِي. He said, because I recognized and I venerated the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my heart. You lose the fear of the people when you recognize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly is al-azim. And the more you learn about Allah azza wa jal, and the more you gain knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more that you are able to recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-azim. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. That only those who have knowledge of Allah are truly able to fear and to venerate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Nuh alayhi salam spoke to his people when he saw them falling into worshipping other than Allah, falling into all types of haram. He said, مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا. That what is the matter with you that you do not recognize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Your ability to venerate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attached to how much knowledge you have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how do we understand in our lives that Allah is al-azim? How do we connect in our lives with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being al-azim and recognize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you in two verses, both of them in Surah Al-Hajj, he said, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. He said, whoever venerates the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then indeed this is from the taqwa of our hearts. And then Allah says in another verse in the same chapter, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ حُرُمَاتُ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ. That whoever venerates the sanctity of the rights of Allah, the things that are haram that Allah has asked him not to go into, then indeed this is better for them with their Lord. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tied together our ability to recognize the greatness of Allah with our ability to, one, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to venerate the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also to venerate the things, the sanctity of the rights of Allah, meaning staying away from everything that is haram. And look at Abdullah ibn Umar rahmatullahi ta'ala radiallahu anhu, when he was going through the desert and he came by a man who was herding some sheep, and he said to him, he said, أَيُّ شَاءَ تُصْلِحُ لِلذَّبْحِ. He said, which of your sheep would be good to slaughter? So the shepherd said to him, قَالَ الرَّاعِ لَيْسَ هَاهُنَا رَبَّهَا. He said, its master is not here. The one who owns it is not here. I'm just the shepherd taking care of it, but the one who owns it is not here, so I cannot sell you any of these. So Abdullah ibn Umar, playing a little bit with him, he said, and if we were to eat it and slaughter it and eat it, so how would your master know about it? If we were to slaughter it and cook it and eat it, how would your master know anything about it? And so the man said to him and turned his head towards the heavens, and he said to him, فَأَيْنَ Allah. So where is Allah? If my master cannot see it, then where is Allah? And Abdullah ibn Umar began to cry, and he began to say over and over, فَأَيْنَ Allah, فَأَيْنَ Allah, فَأَيْنَ Allah, where is Allah? Where is Allah? Ask yourself, brothers and sisters, where is Allah in your life? Where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the greatness of Allah in your life? Where is the greatness of Allah in all of the decisions that you make in your life? Are you willing to sacrifice your desires out of your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your recognition of the greatness of Allah? Are you willing to delete the things that are in your lives, on your computers, on your phones, that might give you pleasure but you know distract you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and take you into haram? Are you willing to give up and sacrifice all of the pleasures that tear you away from Allah out of your recognition of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? فَأَيْنَ اللَّهُ? Where is Allah? Indeed, where is Allah in each of your hearts? Where is Allah in all of your lives? Where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the decisions that you make? Where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you decide to be friends with these people or not be friends with these people? Where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you decide to come to the masjid or not go to the masjid? Where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all the decisions that you make? ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Whoever venerates the symbols of Allah, then indeed this is from the consciousness and the taqwa of our hearts. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ وَلَكُمْ اسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as we mentioned, ذلك ومن يعظم شعائر الله فإنها من تقوى القلوب. وقال ذلك ومن يعظم حرمات الله فهو خير له عند ربه. That whoever venerates the symbols of Allah, this is from the taqwa of their hearts. And whoever venerates the sanctity of the rites of Allah, then indeed this is better for them with their Lord. Some of the people in our society, they only follow what is halal when you convince them that there is a wisdom behind it being halal. Or they abstain from what is haram only when you convince them that there is a wisdom behind it being haram. So if you were to tell them to abandon the drinking of alcohol, for example, they would say, we're only going to abandon it when you convince me that there is a wisdom behind me abandoning it. And the question that we should have is, are these people truly venerating Al-Azim? Are they truly following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or are they only following Allah in relation to how much they can understand and rationalize what is halal and what is haram? Are they venerating their own ability to determine what is wise, or are they venerating the one who is Al-Azim himself? Are they following the orders of the one who is ordering them, or are they only following that which they think they can understand? The true follower of Al-Azim, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions and shows us in the Quran, are those who said, وَقَالُوا سَمَعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. Those who say, we hear and we obey, and our forgiveness is for, and we ask our forgiveness from our Lord, and to Him we will return. This is the attitude of those who recognize truly the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the person follows the orders of halal and haram, not on any condition, except the condition that they are convinced that it came in the authentic hadith or it came in the Quran. So long as they know that this came from Allah and His Messenger, then they follow it because they recognize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why the scholars say, لا تنظر إلى صغر المعصية ولكن انظر إلى عظمة من عصيت. They said, do not look to the smallness of the sin that you commit, but rather look to the greatness of the one whom you are sinning against. And this is the attitude of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. The moment that Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the verses making the drinking of alcohol and the acts of gambling haram, the streets began to run with alcohol that they were breaking and jumping out of their homes. Why? قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. They heard and they obeyed and they sought the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we need to be people who are those who are following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and recognizing the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The problem that we have is that we commit so many different sins. And many of the sins that we do, subhanallah, we would do everything to hide these sins from the people that we know. There are those of us who would pay literally millions of dollars, all of our money. We would rather be homeless and destitute than to see our parents know some of the haram that we've done in our lives. That our parents would see the haram that we have done in our lives. Doesn't Al-Azim, doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserve more of our reverence? Doesn't He deserve more of our respect? Doesn't He deserve more of our devotion and more of our love? يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَهُوَ مَعْهُمْ. They conceal from the people, but they do not conceal from Allah. And indeed, Allah is with them. إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا.